Ernie Faulkner, real one. Ernie, can you tell me where and when you were born, please?
Yes, I was born in 29 Betterton Street, Drury Lane. St. Matthias Day, 24th of February, 1919.
And what were your family circumstances?
Not all that good. No. My mother, I didn't even know my father. You know, that's how much I can remember. I never saw him. I don't know what he looked like, but my mother lived in Drury Lane and she started drinking. That was the problem why I was put in an orphanage about the age of three. And I stayed there not till I was 12 and a half. Catholic orphanage at St Mary's School, Northside, South Hall, Middlesex. And as I said, I left there when I was 12 and a half in 1931.
What was the orphanage like?
It was all very strict discipline. I didn't mind it. I always put it down to all that discipline at that school. I was unable to join the army without any problem. I was used to discipline. And that's, without discipline, you don't win in battles and things like that. You must have discipline. That's how I've always understood.
What was your education like with them?
Not bad. It was quite good. I reached standard 7, which was the highest in them days, you know. You went by standards each year, you got, you know, next grade. And I finished up in standard 7 when I left school at 14. And I put it all down to the discipline and education that got me as far as I am today.
And who were you taught by?
By nuns. Very strict, but very, you know, considerate. And mine was discipline. We had several men there in charge, you know, and they put us through the ropes, told us what was right and what was wrong, and if we didn't, he was punished in a proper manner. Several times some of the boys absconded, run away, but eventually they got caught and we had to watch the punishment they received, you know. On the one occasion, they caught a couple of boys at Middlesex Street and Pedicott Lane area there, and when they brought them back, I can remember the priest constable, he brought them in, and he said, I want every one of you to watch this, so that none of you do the same thing. And the boys, the head man, the headmaster, wasn't headmaster, one of the teachers, he took the boy's trousers down, put them across his knees and gave him a good spanking, you know. And it's through that it made you realise what you're going to expect if you did the same. It's all a matter of discipline, you see.
What was your accommodation like? What did you sleep
in? Like dormitories. There's about 300 in the school at the time. You know, all the different age groups. All the children under 5, they was taken care of in one block. And they were well looked after by young girls who trained to be nuns and things like that, you see. But it didn't do us any harm, all that discipline, you know.
Did you play any sport?
Oh, yes. We used to play on the South Hall football ground, the school. And I remember I had a photograph once when they won the cup, South Hall. And they said, we learned that song, you know. We won the cup, we won the cup. I remember that. And it, you know, they did the local schools, and we turned out one of the best, you know. Because at the school, when I was about 8 or 9, I started learning music, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. In no time, they put me in the band. We had our own band, we used to call us the Boys in Green. They had like an Australian type, all in green and black, turn up shorts, you know. We used to travel all over London when there was a Catholic procession. Then it was cancelled, everybody all over London. We got so well known. And the bandmaster, his name is Jimmy Dunn. Oh, great man. I believe in the First World War, he served in the Royal Marines. And he's short, but what a lovely man. And often he used to talk about his son Vivian. Turned out to be Vivian Dunn, who joined the Royal Marines, he got knighted. And it's through them, you know, through their, you know, guidance, as I like, you know, music.
What instrument did you play?
I played the clarinet. I used to travel all over London, these Catholic possessions, you know, during the summer periods and that. And they got so well known. The Boys in Green, they called us. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Everywhere we went, they respected, especially we went to Clerkenwell, Saffron Hill. The Italians, they made a lot of fuss of us, you know, because they loved it. And it's one of the best days of my life as a boy, you know. Learned to play music, and as I got interested in music, all sorts, you know. And I'm glad I did join a band now. And no time, I learned to pick up music, clarinet. It was quite easy in a way, you know. Learning all the old songs, you know, and marching. It done me a world of good, you know.
So you left in 1931?
Yes.
Did they help you get employment?
Well, my mother was still alive, and because I went home to my mother, she'd moved to Hoxton, off of Pitfield Street, and it was so strange for me, you know, getting used to being in the home like that all the time. It took me quite a while to get used to, like, being in City Street as such. But I took some of my friends and the local boys, and I used to go down and made a wooden cart. I used to go down to Smith Mead Market, fetch all the old boxes. I had my own cart. I used to come home, sit on the pavement, chop all the wood up, and fill them up in a big bag, and take them down to the old ladies in off City Road, opposite Lee Submission, as a turning now, I can't think of the name of it. Used to give the old ladies a bag of wood, used to give it to me. There's a lot of money in them days, you know.
So you were self-employed then?
Well, yeah, in a way. Well, that's what we did. I finished school, and the first thing I used to do, get me old cart, run down Smithfield Market, get as many boxes of wood as I can, come home and sit on the plate, chop it up and give it to the old ladies, you know.
So when you've been in the orphanage, could you look after yourself?
Oh yeah, you've learned to, yes. It's well disciplined, but it's a good upbringing in a way, you know. And I think that's why when I did get called up in the army, I was used to it.
What was Hoxton like in the 30s?
Oh, very, very, very poor area, I should say. They used to have that mission in Hoxton Square, called it Daddy Burt's. That's his name, is Dr. Mills. Lovely old gentleman. And he used to let all the boys go around on a Saturday and give you a mug of soup. He's always helping the poor. Daddy Burt, they used to call him, but his name is Dr. Mills, and he lived at the Hoxton Mission, you know, he did some good work. He was well known all over Hoxton, you know.
And what were most of the people employed doing? What was their jobs?
Well, there was so much unemployment in days, and some were lorry driving and things like that, all sorts, you know. Because there wasn't much work about in them days, so many unemployed. I remember the days when the Welsh miners used to come round, you know, singing and things like that.
The Welsh miners, did they live in Hoxton?
They used to come to London, and like the Jarrow Marches and people like that, always come to London, and I can always remember them days. they're going through the streets, and some of them had lovely voices, you know, the Welsh. And people used to try to help me or pay me out what they could afford, you know, because they was in need, that's why they came to London for help, you know. Their minds, I suppose, are closed down or full up. They've got to get employment. And that's the time when Gandhi came over to England. I can remember him coming, and I can remember Ramsay MacDonald, he was Prime Minister. You know.
Did they all visit Hoxton?
I suppose they did in a way. So many things happened, you know, in them days. Everybody wasn't rich, but it's more sociability. Everybody sort of helped one another. You know, down your street, your neighbours was helping you, you know. If you needed help, they'd be there to help you.
Did you see Gandhi?
I did see him on one occasion, yeah, when he went up the East End, yeah.
What did he look like?
White robes, you know, long sarongs and that. Glasses. Can't say his description. He's all the baldish, you know. And, but he came to England to help for the people in India at the time, you know. And he did well, really. He'd been well respected right throughout his life, you know, for what he tried to do, peacemaker and everything.
Did you know that at the time?
No, didn't realise it that much, you know. But looking back on the years, you read about him, he did some work. Even in India, so much respect for him, you know.
And what did you do for entertainment?
Well, we used to play hopscotch and knocking down ginger. And so we're playing all sorts of games, you know. Cigarette cards, we used to collect the cigarette cards out of packets and, you know, flick them up against the wall and things like that. Having racing, all sorts of skipping. The kids used to. One side of the road, they used to hold one end of the rope, the boy the other side, and everybody'd have a turn, you know, they were skipping. Good exercise, it was. It's all in good fun, you know. So many things happened in those days, unbelievable.
Did you go on any excursions anywhere?
Oh, yes. When I was in the orphanage, we used to go on the barge, because we was right on the Union Canal, and every year the school used to give us a penny and a bar of Nestle's chocolate. We thought the world of it, you know, penny, and we used to go to all these fates, you know, garden fate like Teddington, and we're going there, and we used to go down on the canal, get in the barges, and it was an outing there, you know, and you get there, so much went on, you know.
And what happened when you got back to Hoxton?
Well, things wasn't much the same as they are today, really, but Hoxton was a very busy place, tight place in them days, in the market and everything, compared to today. And everybody used to do their shopping down the market, Hoxton Market. So cheap food in them days when you realise it, you know. You always got a bargain, you know.
And at the time you were self-employed and you were living with your mother. Where were you living?
I was living in a house, a three-storied house. We only had, my mother had one front room and one back room. See? That's what we used to pay 10 shillings a week, I think she paid.
Did you share it with other families?
No. You only had your own room, you know. You had a neighbour downstairs, the landlord who owned the house or run the house. And you had another tenant on the top. And I had about five children, you know. I was only living with my mother and my stepbrother. You know, I didn't know my stepbrother. only when he used to come visit me in the orphanage, you know, when he used to come once a year to visit me on my birthday, and I always remember that. And she always was leaving me a shilling and some penny stamps, pink stamps, you know, so I could write. But the nuns and the mother superior, very helpful, you know. Showed respect to everybody.
And when you come back to Hoxton, did you notice in the 30s any kind of political activity?
I think it was just about starting in them days, you know. There used to be demonstrations like taking place now and again. Well, it wasn't until a couple of years later when the black shirts, they called them the black shirts, Mosleys, he started having meetings all over London and that. I can remember him coming down to Hoxton and Dalston in them days, you know, the black shirts, because what was going on in Europe, Germany, and fascists and that, we didn't take much notice. But I can remember just standing in Ridley Road, Oswald Mosley, and the place was packed. Packed, absolutely packed. And that's the only politics I, you know, remember.
What were people thinking when he was speaking? Were they, how did they react to him?
No, there was a lot of tension because it was a Jewish area, Dalston at the time, you know, and as many a scuffle took place, I can assure you. Sometimes you had to get out of that crowd at Ridley. There was fighting going on, you know. Somebody start the ball rolling, and in no time there'd be scuffles all over the place, you know. You had to get out of the way, otherwise you'd be involved, you know.
Who would he be scuffling with? Would the black shirts be fighting with Jewish people?
Jewish nationality, yeah. Because all what was going on in Europe was all part of that, you see. Hitler, Nazism and all that. And it spread to this country, you know.
What did you think of him?
Mosley? Well, at the time, I think everybody wondered what he was all about, you know. And black shirts, never heard of them, you know, but it became the fascist movement, you know. I never joined it myself, but you read it in the papers, you know, what was going on, so you realise what the situation is all about. But there's many disturbances, especially up Whitechapel. Oh, terrible up there. When you went up there, and police, no end of police up there, getting involved, they couldn't help it, you see.
Would it, this happen on a weekly or a daily basis?
Oh, more or less every day, something happens, you know. Yeah. Scuffles all over the place. It's all to do with the black shirts, you see. And they started getting a bit stronger, their movement, what it was all about, but I didn't join it anyway. And all I can remember is a battle between the fascists and the Jewish people, you know. Well, I think everybody's got the right to live on this earth with whatever nationality or colour. And that's how I've always, you know, gone through life.
Did you see anything of the communists at that time?
Oh, yes, there's always parades going on, you know, the banners and that. They should walk through the streets, encouraging people to join the movement, but especially weekends mainly, there's always some demonstration taking place. Either meetings at Ridley Road, up the Commercial Road, Commercial Street, all up that area. And
would people go along just to see what was going on?
That's about it, yes. And they'd get involved in no reason whatsoever, you know. There was stones flying and things like that, you had to get out of the way, you know. But I suppose once you get older, you understood what it was all about, you see. But it was one of the worst disturbances I've seen up there. It was along Commercial Street. This was on a Sunday when the Pedicott Market opened. Everybody used to go down here and get a bargain. Suddenly, there'd be a scuffle, you know, for some reason or other. And that's all it's all about, is in, communism and fascism. And this used to happen every weekend.
Yeah. This went on through the 30s, did it?
Yes. Well, as far as I can remember, when I was at school, you know, before I left school, it started. We didn't have none of it at school, mind you. It was too strict. The nuns wouldn't allow that. But it did start. That was the start of it, you know. And by the time the war broke out, so many people evacuated to England from Europe, you know, from Syria, you know. In a shocking state, some of them Europeans coming over.
Did you meet some of them?
Well, I couldn't talk their language, you know, European. But I saw enough, you know, to open the eyes. Just prior to the war, the Second World War outbreak, you know. And this used to happen nearly every weekend. There'd be some disturbance through these political meetings, you know. And, well, we knew what the result was, you know, time the war broke out.
Did you at the time, you know, what were your social activities? Did you go dancing or go to the cinema?
Oh, always went to the pictures, yeah, cinema, yeah. Saturdays, we always had used to call you 8 or a penny to go in. They'd give you a bar of chocolate. You just follow the series like Cowboys, Tom Mix, and come back and you see next week's what happened. It went on for weeks, you know. You watch these old cowboy Tom Mix and, you know, Lassie, all them. They used to watch it. And it lasted about an hour. And next Saturday, your mum used to give you 8 or a penny, get you out of the way, I suppose. But it's interesting. It gives you some interest, you know. You look forward to all the old films and that. There were silent films in them days. And suddenly they brought out the talkies, you know. I can remember them occasions when they came out. It's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it, you know. Watching silent films, Magic Lantern and all that. And you brought the silent films out. Different altogether.
Do you remember seeing your first talkie?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I can't remember the name of it, though. Probably do with Tom Mix, I think. Name the time, his cowboys, you know, hero at the time, Tom Mix.
Did you like the cowboy films?
Yeah. Well, it just keeps us interest. Wonder what's going to happen next week and when you went. Then it went the next week, you know. Kept you in suspense. But the good old days, you know. Thinking about it all.
And as you got older, what were your other interests?
Well, when I was 14, I left school. And I heard somebody say, some children might say, you want to earn money, you get a job down the city. That's where all the money is. Well, when I did leave school, I did get a job down the city. I started as a messenger. And I stayed in that job till I was 20, the outbreak of the war, you know. I worked for the foreign exchange, like brokers. And I learned quite a lot, really. You learned all the foreign currencies and, you know, what each country's money was, like the yen, Japan, and pesetos, all that. You learned a lot doing that. And because I stayed in this job, as I say, right till I was 20.
What did you do as a messenger?
Always to deal with being foreign exchange brokers, we used to the firm used to do a lot of the business with the Bank of England, you know. And I got to know all the banks in the city. They knew me. I got so well known, you know. You can walk with any bank, you know, Bank of England. I've been to all the banks in the city. I knew him off by heart, you know. And he kept me fit, walking all round, you know. That's why I had no trouble when I joined the army, marching. I did so much walking, you know, in the city. Never get a bus. I used to walk from the city to where I lived, even to Dalston. I used to walk from the city to Dalston. Mind the fare is only about a penny or 3/8, you know, but always walked to work, walked back, you know.
And what was the city like? Did people dress like city gents?
Oh, yes, I think so. Always had been. The pinstripe. They knew you was a city man, but, you know, by your dress. And it was so busy in the city in them days, you know. Ever so busy. The Lord Mayor shows and things like that. And even on the Remembrance Day, 11 o'clock, the alarm used to go and everybody used to stand there, stand still, you know, recognising the armistice. And you carried on normally, you know.